and that sustains our economy. We have reviewed the proposed revisions to the sign control ordinance for the county and are delighted to see provisions, one, that enhance sign safety by prohibiting flashing, moving, strobe, or mirrored signs for those that would prevent free ingress and egress. Two, provisions that minimize light pollution at night by prohibiting lights aimed upwards or toward the street and limiting the amount of illumination at night. And three, restricting on-premises signs on scenic corridors to a maximum of 15 feet high and 32 square feet. As you may recall from the photo study of 276 South that I presented last month, businesses there have already self-opted for signs that already fit within these criteria. In driving from the North Carolina-South Carolina border to Wilson Road yesterday, we found only three or four signs that would need to be grandfathered. While we are hopeful that you and the commissioners will also support and approve the extension of the application of scenic corridors to include 276L, we nonetheless believe that the proposed revisions for discussion this evening are for the benefit of all of Transylvania County. We believe these revisions will help sustain the attractiveness of Transylvania County, which, as a whole, is good for every business and property owner. We have talked to planning staff, and while we understand the concerns about the challenges of several other changes we proposed, we were a little disappointed to not see addressed two safety concerns. One was signs near curbs, and the other was tall signs that distract the eye away from safe driving. Nor the replacement of grandfathering with amortization for existing signs. But like I said, we understand their concerns. Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak with you this evening.
Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else want to comment? Okay. All right. I don't see any more takers. If there are, nope. All right. We'll close public comment and move to the approval of the agenda. I would like to suggest a change to the agenda, that we discuss the scenic corridor destination, move it to the front of the agenda.
Say that again.
The scenic corridor designation discussion that we're going to have, I'd like to move that to the front of the agenda. So if any people in the audience need to go home, they don't have to. You're welcome to stay. But if you want to go after that, we'll move it to the front. That's my suggestion.
So are you suggesting that that would become old business A, scenic corridor ordinance, and sign ordinance?
Right.
Would
okay.
Become B.
Correct. That is very. If you have an agenda out there, item 6, old business, we would move the scenic corridor to A and then make B sign ordinance update. That's an official motion.
Second.
Okay, I have. All right.
I'm sorry. Kimsey.
Motion.
Any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? All right. Thank you. Let's go through some other items real quick. The approval of the minutes. We had, I think, the. Everybody get a chance to look at the minutes from the last meeting.
I only found, this is just a typo. Anything else is really good. If it's on page 2, about halfway down, another citizen stated they like uniqueness of the area and would like these signs.
Right.
It says two signs, T-O signs.
And would should be a V between like and uniqueness. The same bullet point you just read.
Oh. The uniqueness of the area.
The uniqueness of the area, I think.
Yeah. We would make
with those small
that change.
With those small changes, does anybody see anything else that you need to?
Yes. My name is spelled wrong.
How long have you been doing it wrong?
How long have you spelled your name incorrectly?
My name is K-I-M-S-S-E-Y, please.
All right.
K-I-M-Z was the principal here.
Is it spelled with a Z?
Yeah. R.T. Kimsey was high school principal when I was in school.
All right. With that correction and the small typos, are there any other corrections? Then I would consider a motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
Okay.
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the minutes as they, with the amendments noted, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Okay. Joy. Subdivision update, approvals and updates.
Yes.
Let me start this around.
Sure. Let's get hand one to Lauren and the rest of them ready to go.
And let's just go ahead and send you shooting around.
Thank you. During the last month, we have approved 10 exemptions to the definition of subdivision. 3 were recombinations, 3 were family subdivisions, and the 4 remaining were changing of boundary lines between adjoining properties. And we had one lot subdivision and 1 2 lot subdivision.
Any questions for Joy concerning the exemptions, subdivisions, and exemptions? All right. Thank you. Now move into old business, and we had an adjustment to the agenda. We're going to discuss the scenic corridor discussion will commence. There you go.
I'll take it.
All right. Mr. Burroughs?
Scenic corridor was something that we discussed at the last meeting, and it was actually brought up by a number of individuals from the Cedar Mountain community as a concern, specifically wanting to see if it was possible to identify U.S. 276 as a scenic corridor. And we've talked about the other corridors that we have. They're identified in this existing ordinance. Staff went into this 2-page ordinance, and everybody should have a redline strikeout version of the document. And basically, most of the changes are typos. This was originally adopted in 1991. And so when you look at the language, you have to kind of go, what were they thinking of with some of the language? And so some of that is just cleaning it up. But the major change is on the second page. And it's U.S. 276. I'm going to read the revision. That portion of U.S. 276, excluding any area within the city of Brevard's planning jurisdiction, beginning at the North Carolina-South Carolina state line to the entrance of the Blue Ridge Parkway. The former definition of U.S. 276 was from the Pisgah Forest intersection to the Blue Ridge Parkway. What we have done now is we have taken it from South Carolina to essentially Wilson Road. When you get to Wilson Road, there's a little jog in there with the city's planning jurisdiction, their extraterritorial jurisdiction. But we're basically saying we're taking it from South Carolina to the city's jurisdiction and then continuing where it was before. Of course, where it was before was in Pisgah National Forest, and we had really no control over that anyhow. County commissioners, I remember at that time, wanted to identify it, though, because of the scenic view. All the other changes are, with the exception of one other thing that I want to go back to on page one, just really more grammatical, cleaning up of language would be the best way to describe it. With the exception of, under the paragraph that starts where it says scenic corridors, there is a strikeout at the end of that. And what we have done, a couple things. Let me back up here, changing which to that. We had a suggestion at the last meeting. In fact, I think it was Jan that made the suggestion that we might want to talk about the natural experience. And the more I read this, the more I realized that talking about the natural grandeur, these are not the Tetons. These are wonderful mountains. They are great, but the natural grandeur seems to stretch. But I picked up on something that the Cedar Mountain community talked about at the last meeting, and that was the natural experience. That you really do get a feeling of the mountain roads. So we included that. But the main thing is to look at in which no off-premise outdoor advertising signs may be erected. So this was actually an ordinance that identified scenic corridors, and then it also said no outdoor off-premise signs would be allowed. We're striking that from here. Those are the changes on that. And the reason why we're striking it from here, and then this simply becomes an ordinance that identifies scenic corridors. We add back in the subdivision, excuse me, the sign control ordinance, we add in the restrictions for off-premise signs. It's the same. We're saying no off-premise signs on a scenic corridor. But it also gives us an opportunity for you to have a discussion on whether or not you want to limit the size of on-premise signs on scenic corridors. That is why we've kind of made the changes here. Does that make sense?
That discussion would be in the sign.
That's in the sign control ordinance. And right now we're saying that there's no change with off-premise. Both say there are no off-premise signs allowed. What we will, and Joy's going to get to in a minute, Kimsey, is that on on-premise signs, we are suggesting that sign height be limited and that the size be restricted. And that's for you to discuss. You may say that's too small, too short. Maybe there's something in between what is there for other areas of the county, but that's for you to discuss and come up with. Any questions about the scenic corridor ordinance?
I would like to add that back in November or December, the planning board, previous planning board, received a map that had the scenic byways and scenic corridors on them. New members have that in your packet as a reference.
How much of these corridors in this ordinance are also like state scenic byways?
Yes. The waterfall one, the NC215 is a scenic byway. That part of NC215 in Transylvania County is a scenic byway. Toxaway Falls is a scenic byway, U.S. DOT scenic byway. U.S.
It's not, that part is not, it's when you get
yeah. Moved. Yeah, it's below.
Yeah.
That part of 281 is not a scenic byway. I apologize. I was thinking of the Whitewater Falls, NC281, down lower is a scenic byway. Toxaway Falls is not. So, then Staten Road is not. US 276, that portion that is currently considered a scenic corridor between Pisgah Forest Entrance and Blue Ridge Parkway is. And so Staten Road, Toxaway Falls, US 64, that small section, and Little Mountain are the ones that are not considered scenic byways by NCDOT. There is a process by which we can propose NCDOT look at them and consider them, but that process has not been started or considered at this time.
But the Whitewater Road, Highway 281 South, it is a scenic byway.
It is. Yes.
What was the original impetus for U.S. 64 of NUCA to be seen in Thailand?
The planning board and the county commissioners at that time, as you are coming from Toxaway towards Brevard, they saw that whole vista right there from essentially the top down to Israel Road as being an area that opens up the whole valley.
Okay.
And they didn't want to see an off-premise sign in that area coming down the mountain where you open up to the valley. That was the argument for that. Same way with the top of Little Mountain down to Hudson. It was, you've got this, you crest that hill coming in from Asheville towards Brevard, and the mountains just open up in front of you. And I think for a lot of people, that's, they know their home. And that's kind of, so I can remember specifically the discussion along those lines.
And now, in that section of 64, you see the state's bar pit on the left, you can see their gravel pile on the right, and their stump pile below that.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
It's not very scenic.
But you don't see any off-premise signs.
You do see a little shopping center.
So in the proposed sign ordinance, what would be the difference between a corridor that's listed in the county's scenic corridors and a state scenic byway? Are those handled any differently?
Off-premise signs are not allowed on either of them. NCDOT does not allow off-premise signs on scenic byways. And there is a section in on-premise signs for you guys to consider, for on-premise signs regulating the size
and height.
And height.
But that's for you guys to discuss. And it would be, that would apply to a scenic corridor, would not apply to a scenic byway. Well, that's correct, because NCDOT does not regulate on that item for on-premise.
But does our sign ordinance, I mean, it can use scenic byways to restrict
off-premise signs, right? We can use for off-premise signs. And that, we're not recommending any change in terms of off-premise. If both of these are adopted in draft form by you, there's no change in that off-premise sign regulation or requirements. That there's no change. The only change that we would be looking at is on-premise signs. And where right now there is no restriction, well, there is, it's 150 square foot is the maximum size of any sign on-premise or off-premise. What we are recommending is that an on-premise sign be 32 square feet. And that would apply to scenic corridors. Now, that may be something you as a board come back and say, that's too small. Maybe the city of Brevard, for example, their signage for McDonald's or any of the signs, they allow 85 square feet of signs. So maybe you come back and say 32 square feet on premise on a scenic corridor, we would rather see at 85 or 100, but not 150. That's why we pulled that out.
On Highway 281 South, the last mile or so of that road to Jackson County.
So really, to the Jackson County line. Thank you.
So this talks away policy section. It says beginning at the intersection of U.S. 64 and 281. Is that the intersection of 281 North or the intersection of 281 South?
Is
That whole portion of US 64 is a scenic byway from 215 up to Sapphire in Jackson County, or Castors in Jackson County. I don't know how far it goes in Jackson County. So that section would be a scenic byway because of 64. It's not 280.
Right.
It's that, just that portion of 64.
Mac, as I read that, it would be US 64 beginning US 64 and NC 281 and then going towards Toxway Falls Bridge.
But there's 281 is on the east side of the bridge, 281 north.
Right.
64 intersections on the east side of the bridge, 281 south, and 64 intersections on the west side of the bridge.
Right. How should this read?
It depends on which section of the rest you're trying to do.
On the west side of Toxway Falls, there's very little there now. On the other side, there's a lot there. West and NC 200 spanning to the west side of the Toxway. I think we're looking at that intersection going west on 64. I'm being dense here.
There's another, if you go.
I know.
Right.
Yeah, I know, but I.
So it's all you got to do is say 281 north or 281 south, and you change the entire corridor.
Yeah.
Well, it's 281 south. I think
that's all the way up to Sapphire.
But if the state already has it as a scenic byway.
Right, that's what my question would be, what more teeth do we put in the ordinance by putting something that's already covered by the state in an ordinance?
State would cover off-premise signs, would not cover the on-premise.
Okay, I'm Chris. I have a question.
Hmm. Yeah.
So off-premise signs are prohibited on the scene by the way.
Because it's probably
scene is corridor, scene is
corridor.
That's our toy thought. What else do you have to do?
Right. So is it this or section?
That's my corridor? Question.
Steve, I'm sorry. Hang on. Let's get this.
It's not very big because it's on the computer screen, but 281 comes into 64 here, and the bridge is about here. Or the bridge is about here, and 281 leaves 64 here. So that is the discussion. Can you?
Which one is 281 north?
281 north is here.
281 north is the first one you come to.
On the
64.
And this is 281 south. And the bridge is here. So, is this the section that's a scenic corridor, or is this the section that's a scenic corridor?
I thought when I read this, we were talking about 281 north to the bridge, and get past the bridge. Because right past the bridge, you've got several businesses.
That's the whole commercial part of the
commercial little area, and then there's other stuff that you go on out through there.
There could be commercial signs in the corridor and on-premise signs, correct?
Correct.
There's no off-premise signs.
Yeah, but it's more than just signs.
Well, not for the sign ordinance.
Yeah, there's businesses and all that beyond the bridge.
I'm actually, in this case, I cannot remember, going back to 91, the distinction between the two and what the planning board and county commissioners were trying to accomplish. My guess is they were trying to restrict from the bridge to the service station. That's my guess, because that's the area, that kind of scenic area
So you're saying 281 South would be Sapphire. There's a BP station. Jim Lorenz
station
on the corner of that. It's on that intersection.
Because 281, not many people take 281. That's not north. 281 north. Not many people would travel that way.
So.
Yeah.
I traveled about 10 times a day.
not many people travel up that way.
I
thought we were trying to take 64.
We were going to put a sign between Goodyear's Road and Top Top 45 anyway.
That's fair. It's too secret.
It's all going to be a new road pretty soon in the woods.
That's another thing, too. That road is changing.
The alignment's not going to change. All right, so that portion of US 64, beginning at the intersection of 64 and 281 North,
okay,
and spanning to, actually it's, it would go past the Toxway Falls Bridge, it would go to 281 South, spanning to 281 South.
It's a very commercial part of the world.
But it's not going to change anything to the commercial there, other than off-premise signs.
Or maybe the size of their signs.
But that's a different thing. That would be something, that's a different part. No, no, I get it. I'm not trying to be flippant on that, but that would be, you know, 32 square feet. Why not be? Maybe you want to say 85 or 100. Right now, it would be 150. Right now, even the size of 150.
Maybe it should be just like the rest of the camp,
which is 150.
I don't think we want the same provisions on a scenic corridor as we want on a typical public road. For on-premise.
The Highway 64 between 281 North and 281 South is not a scenic road. I mean, other than the falls, which is about a quarter of a mile up, it's a scenic, and other than that, it's just one business after another.
That's, yeah.
I think we need to add the word North Carolina 281 North and expand it to the west side of the park. That's what I interpreted.
Stephanie, I would, on this, I'd like to be able to go back and reword that. I think it needs to be reworded. But what I would actually suggest right now is, unless there are other questions, I do agree with the 281. We need to change the South Carolina state line. That is Jackson County line comes before that. That's correct. May I suggest that we go to the sign control ordinance now and look at the requirements and then come back and look at this and then decide whether or not you're comfortable, you know, I can come up with wording on this tonight, or we'll wait until the next meeting to finalize that. Mike, is that?
I'm comfortable with Kenzie's wording there. If we're going to do that, I mean, to me,
Kenzie's wording is
281 North.
So just to
the bridge.
To the west side of the Fall Bridge. Got it.
That's my suggestion. Because that's what I read this, like I said.
Okay.
It's exactly what I was thinking. Oh, that makes sense.
All right, John. You've got that.
So what we're added on 276 would be what we call Greenville Highway.
Greenville Highway from South Carolina to Wilson Road.
And the rest of that's in the VARD's
planning jurisdiction, or it was already in the ordinance but in national forest. 276 going up, so there's no change on it.
What you're saying is within the planning area of the city.
Excluding any area within the city planning jurisdiction.
Basically, as well.
Correct. It's not quite, but it's very close.
Yes. So Wilson Road to the top of Caesar's Head.
to the state line, which is not Caesar's Head. It would be dead.
Yep.
That's what it would be.
Okay.
Actually, Caesar's Head.
Yeah.
How would it work if we didn't exclude the part in the city?
We have no jurisdiction.
Well, that was my question. Would we have jurisdiction, or would the most restrictive rule apply?
No, we have no jurisdiction. And so it would be meaningless. We have no jurisdiction. Unless they were to come in and say, we'd like your ordinance and we want you to enforce it, and somehow or another, I just don't see them doing that.
Would the same be true from the intersection of 280 and 276 to the Blue Ridge Parkway? Not really. Is there jurisdiction on that road? Yes.
The reality is, it is in the county, but it is controlled by the Forest Service and NCDOT.
And there might be less than a half mile that's city's ETJ on 276 right there at the intersection 280. Isn't
ETJ is under roughly 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Does the town of Rosman's jurisdiction include this highway of US 64 section?
Town limits are off and around 64.
Old 64.
They're right there at the intersection of 64. Aren't they on all the way up to the intersection?
Yeah, but not up. I don't think they go up New Cut. We're seeing that.
No, they're at the intersection of 178 and 64.
Correct.
Right.
And then if you go down to the Rogers Place, they extend out there.
Right.
But I don't think it's
right.
In that,
I think you're right.
That section there. In fact, I'm almost. Yeah.
I think you're right.
I
don't know.
Rosman town limits go 64-178, and they go this way, back around, but I don't think they touch 64 on that side.
They follow old 64 to Rogers to
right.
Yeah.
Google has the boundary limits.
Yeah. Any other questions about
that Rosman?
Yeah. Rosman.
That's saved up by the heavy traffic. Mm-hmm. All right. So with the wording on this, we're basically just adding that stretch of 276.
That is, and removing the requirement of outdoor advertising signs. Those are the big pieces, and then as you have just done, you've also cleaned up the jurisdiction of those roads or where those roads are, and then staff has provided some edits that we think make it cleaner and easier to read.
So what you suggested a moment ago was that we move to the signs control ordinance, looking at the off-premise signs. That was that your suggestion?
I would look at first at the off and then on-premise signs.
Okay.
And then that will match up to this, because and then we can finish up the sign control ordinance where you can come back and look and say, we like this.
Anybody get a consensus on that requires a vote? Does anybody see any problems with Mark's suggestion?
No.
All right. Mark is always somebody. Get us where we need to be and let's discuss that.
At this point, on this section, I'm going to ask Joy, if you would, let's start with the off-premise sign regulations and then go to the on-premise as it relates to scenic corridors, and then we can back up and do all of the signs.
The off-premise signs as it relates to scenic corridors is section 4.7. It is in the prohibited signs. So 4.7 is off-premise signs designed to be visible from a road or a portion thereof designated as a scenic corridor by the Transylvania County Board of Commissioners.
And that is what we have in the scenic corridor ordinance.
Are we ready to look at on-premise, or are there any questions or comments about 4.7?
What did we ever do with this?
We're just going to put that aside to make sure that we understand what off-premise signs in the ordinance look like, as well as on-premise, and then you can go back and look and say whether or not you want to proceed to say, yes, let's make these changes and submit to the county commissioners in draft form, or you can have further discussions. Does that make sense?
Okay, so our options are, assuming we would vote to approve this.
Yeah, and what Joy's going to do, because I think the real discussion right now is going to be, so far we haven't discussed any change. The change is
section 6.10. On-premise signs located on scenic corridors.
What section again?
6.10.
So we're just trying to decide if we want to make scenic corridors more restrictive than scenic byways.
That's the one way to look at it.
Well, that's basically the only way to look at it. Yeah.
Okay. But only from the standpoint of on-premise.
Yes, yes.
Only from the standpoint of on-premise.
All right.
Why? It's a piece of plywood. Kimsey noted that 32 square feet is a piece of plywood.
I think to go back to Steve's question, why would you want to make one different than the other as far as the size requirements on an on-premise sign? What's the benefit of making a Transylvania County scenic corridor more restrictive than a North Carolina corridor?
From the standpoint of having signs that are 150 square feet, as opposed to 32, I think what my intent was in inserting this like this would be to minimize the sign of the size. Quite frankly, I think 32 is probably on the small side, and we've thought about that some more. I've talked to the city of Brevard and looking at what their ordinance is. But to answer your question, I think that the state, the scenic byway designation, there is no requirement. So 150 is the size. I think one of the things that impressed me, and I think you've got a copy of it, are all of the pictures of the signs on US 276 already. And most of those are under... Do you have a measurement on those signs, Jane?
I don't have a measurement on each one. I can tell you that we drove the extent of it, and there were only three or four signs that were greater than 32 square feet. So
that's one.
Business owners have already self-opted for something that creates a map to look their system with the Transylvania County brand.
So when you look at those photographs of the existing, all of the signs, not just cherry-picked signs, but they took pictures of everything, it fit into more of that 32, but I think 32 is probably on the smaller side. City of Brevard is 85 for an on-premise sign. But I would say that you're trying to distinguish the county and looking at ways of visually less impact. other planning board member thoughts, questions?
I think 32 is a little small. I think 150 is much too large. If this is our, these are our corridors we're defining for very, very specific reasons. To me, 48 square feet seems like a more in-between reasonable number, especially since a number of these businesses are already at or below that, because they understand the value of scenic corridors. And I think we want to make sure that someone doesn't come in who doesn't understand the value of the scenic corridors and put up 150 square feet.
Can someone give me an example of a 150 square foot sign?
Well, think of 10 foot by 15. So you're looking at that window space
at least.
It's probably 10. It'd probably be a little bit wider. That's not quite 15. It'd be about to the door.
No, we're doing for one was big outdoor advertising.
Billboards.
That's what I'm thinking. Billboards.
Well, the billboard's bigger. The billboard's bigger. But,
oh, okay.
But
like
10 by 15, if it's back off the road a good way, it's not that big of a sign.
Well, that's true.
It's on the business.
We actually have, there's a new provision that we've inserted in here that says that if you can't see the sign from a state maintained road, we don't care how big it is. So when somebody gets off onto your property and you want to have a huge sign.
But I'm saying a business that's a good ways off the road that puts up a sign that's 10 by 15, that may not, from the road, that may not look like a very large sign.
Correct.
That's
it. I mean, it's going to be 10 foot by 15, and it can be 25 feet high. And so we don't distinguish whether that sign is going to be on a building like Whistle Stop that is adjacent, almost adjacent to the road, car width away, or from Cantrell's building that's set back further.
I mean, what I'm thinking about is a plant like Excelsior that their building is 500-600 feet off the road, and if they put up a 10 by 15 foot sign at their building, that's not going to look that big from the road.
Well, I would agree with that. But we're not distinguishing. I'll come back again. If you've got somebody that has Whistle Stop, do you want that 150 square foot sign, which they could then do right there on the road? So.
Just for perspective, could we get you to estimate the screen? We're all sitting here looking at the screen behind you. How many square feet is that?
That's probably about 5 by 5.
Was that so?
Six by
about 6 by 8, probably.
6 by 5.
That was what yours is
about. 40.
Roughly 48 square feet. I think we talked about it in the last meeting. And Mike, I think to your, maybe it was 2 meetings ago, is that variance procedure. So that if you did have an Excelsior packaging that said we need a larger sign so that it is lifted, I think that that makes sense to be able to do that as opposed to having a large sign that anybody could put up along that corridor, scenic corridor, any scenic corridor. Right now, we don't have anything on scenic. Right now, 150 is what rules. On 276, it looks like it's been self-regulated to a sign that's fairly small. That's their own desire.
That's fairly small.
But most of them, from what I gather, are roughly about 32 square feet.
Somehow
a sheet of plywood, essentially.
Yeah, structure. Some look like they don't have sheet of plywood.
Like Cedar Mountain House on the brick wall. Is that about 32?
When you take my sheet, why would it?
The actual message is probably on something that would be about 32 square feet, and then you have the pillars on the side of it.
That seems
my impression of driving along 276 is that it's not always signed. It's signs that are needed, they're there. You don't see a lot of purposes. But as he says, that's self-regulated.
So that, I mean, to me, that's a pretty good point, is that there's not any 150 square foot signs that are on scenic byways.
There is. Burlingame. Burlingame has one on the scenic byway that is huge. It's a billboard.
Yeah. And the whole thing of the dollar.
Was it exempt when the sign ordinance was?
It was already there.
91. It was there.
Okay. A sign was already there. They've covered, they put new sign base on there.
The thing with the Dollar General store is
those are the signs on the whitewater.
And that they were dealing with a responsible corporation that reacted to the complaints and what they got. There's some corporations that told them to go fly a kite. And I don't know what could have been done about that.
Then you don't shop there.
They changed the whole building design. I've never seen one like that.
That's
incredible.
Yes, really.
And the little lights.
I mean, if we have a variance process that anyone can come before and plead their case, and then we have a reasonable sign size that's sort of a general case or best case scenario for what we want to see, ideally, I think that kind of is fair to both to all parties involved. So if Dollar General came in and said, we have this very compelling reason we need a larger sign, you know, they have the ability to plead that. If you get a corporation who says, well, we're just going to put the biggest sign we want, and you can't do anything about it, that's where I get a little concerned. Or it doesn't have to be a big bid, it can be anyone. You know. So it's kind of like working through the common denominator, and then do we have the variance process to let people go in and get a variance?
If they're off the road, like
they're done. Yeah, exactly. Or if it's a plant that needs a bigger sign, or whatever the case is. It's case by case.
Yeah. We have that.
We do have that. And my experience with planning boards in the past doesn't mean that this planning board or a future one would be receptive, but since I have been involved with planning boards have been generally very receptive to variances if there is good reason.
A legitimate
reason. And I have not seen anything abused by a group of people that consistently come back and say, we want to see something different. If there was, then I would say that part of the ordinance needs to be revised. But planning boards generally have been fairly lenient. So we've covered changes to the scenic corridor ordinance. There's a provision for off-premise signs still prohibited. That doesn't change. The change is section 6.10 of the sign control ordinance that says you can have an off-premise sign in a scenic corridor, but it's limited to 32 square feet as opposed to 150. I've heard Lauren say he would be comfortable with a size up to about 48. Again, the city of Brevard is larger than that. And I think that it's really up to what would you as a board be comfortable with.
We have to remember the city of Brevard is already a whole ballpark of signs that they're out there. And they are a large commercial area, and obviously the signs compete with one another to draw customers in. Out on in our rural areas, that's not true. I can be comfortable with you.
Thank you.
me.
Like 32 is kind of restrictive.
Joe?
To me, the purpose of the ordinance is to prevent a disaster. It's not necessarily to force people to do what this group on the board and even including the audience would like to see done. It's to prevent something that would truly be obnoxious. And, I mean, to me, something like 100 square feet would be much more reasonable. I mean, the city of Brevard is 85.
85.
Thank you.
I wouldn't go bigger than that.
Lord, do I hear?
Hey man, I increased it from 32 to 48. That's a big concern.
Oh, 48, that's trying to calculate. That's 6x8.
6x8.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
yeah.
And you haven't even seen a corridor. This sign is, if you can't see, in my opinion, if you can't see that on a two-lane,
yeah,
that's right off the road, I mean, 100 feet seems to me very large.
Yeah.
I feel 100. 48 seems like, whatever sign size that takes seems like, you can get enough information on there at the speed you're going, in my opinion, to kind of not prevent a business from getting their message out.
Yeah, part of it too is how close to the road is the sign. Because, like you were talking about, guys put something, you know, and see it from the
road. Absolutely. Yeah.
That's a different situation than right along the highway.
And you can apply for a variance from that. You know, if your business is way off.
And we've had this sign ordinance for 26 years, and we haven't had any issues with people clogging up the scenic byways with large signs. I mean,
that's true, too.
Except for
I mean, this is a solution for a problem that hasn't occurred yet.
Right now, it's 100 feet, and we can get a bunch of signs as large as that wall.
Well, I appreciate your point, but I would also say, I would prefer to address it before it becomes a problem, because it's going to be harder to go back and undo it if you don't say something now. So you have to go back and grandfather stuff down the road if you don't decide to change the label. And so I'd look at it more as a preventative thing as well.
Like on the Whitewater Road, Burlingame has two signs that are basically billboards.
Mm-hmm. If we're there.
We have a sign that's bigger than this. Camp Buck has a pretty big sign, and it's an off-premise sign. The Whitewater Road's still pretty scenic.
I've heard, Frank, what do you think on signs? I haven't heard you say.
32 is far too restrictive.
Okay.
I'm not really comfortable with 85, but I understand what you're talking about. You know,
you're saying what, 32?
No.
You
definitely not. The bigger the better.
Okay.
I'm uncomfortable with telling people what to do on their own property to start with.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever hidden that fact.
Oh.
But if the least size sign I could see in an ordinance like this would be 85, because I haven't seen much on the plan that's more restrictive. These are large UDO, and they say 85. So,
may I make a suggestion? And it's probably not going to be one that everybody will like, but right now it's 150. I made a recommendation of 32. What if you went with a sign that was 8x10? That's 80. That's essentially half of what we would have, but it's double the proposal of what we have in there. And I think that you're still going to find two things. One, people on scenic corridors are going to still continue to self-regulate. And two, if you do have an industry that goes in or a business that goes in that needs a larger sign, there is the option for a variance that they would still have. And so it's kind of trying to meet a middle ground of between what we have now and what I suggested, what we've suggested in the draft. Orin, is that?
I can see the reasoning. I could give for that. It's big, in my opinion, but I think that's a fair compromise between these two ends, between 32 and 150.
I don't think there are any of the signs that were that large out there where the map be in there. Were there any 8x10 signs?
No, they're not that large.
If you and I are comfortable, it's probably the same.
I know, I was going to say, I mean, that's for the best we're going to get.
Yeah. You know, I from the other end of the spectrum, say what Lauren says, we're probably, you know, we're not going to get it as small as Lauren wants or as large as I want, so if we go to the middle, that's probably about as good a compromise as we're going to get in, I think. And 80, did you say 8x10?
8x10.
To me, that's, and with the caveat that there's a variance process, you know, if you're off the road adjacent to 276 but off the road, and adjacent to 64 but off the road, and there's a variance process. Moderately comfortable with that. Okay.
Steve?
Yeah, I can live with that. I think our bitch is too big. Certainly. I think something that big defeats the purpose of even addressing in the first place. But I think we're well within our right to make it a little more restrictive than seen. So I can live with it.
Sandy?
Yeah.
So we want 50 people to have a piece of probably wouldn't go. We can't hear. I'm sorry. I'm thinking if they have to have that, maybe you know, they're set back a little bit.
So it seems consensus that 80 as a draft to take to the commissioners and allow them for additional thought there. Mm-hmm. The reality is, I think that people that have businesses on a semi corridor are going to continue to see the value of trying to blend in. And Mac, to your point, this ordinance has been in place since 1991. And there hasn't been a lot of large signs there. But I'll go to Steve's point on this one. That doesn't mean that Dollar General would have to do this or anybody else that wants to develop that. And the way things are changing in this region right now, particularly in Henderson, South Asheville, Buncombe area, we are going to see change take place here. Not necessarily change we want, but this at least begins to try to address what might happen to that area. All right. Thank you. So let me ask a question then. Do you want to go through the sign control ordinance now? And let Joy quickly go through the major changes, not the typos and minor adjustments, but go through that and then come back and say,
yes. Good.
And adopt as a draft for taking to the county commissioners the scenic corridor, and if you are agreeable, the sign control ordinance with its changes, or you want to go ahead and do something with scenic corridor right now, based on what we're talking about.
The discussion we've had is that answered everybody's questions that they may have had board-wise about the scenic corridor designation ordinance.
I think I understand. I'm not as familiar with the area that you guys are.
Actually, the,
I can look at that.
The changes, the technical, thank you. The technical changes and the directions of these, I really appreciate. And why we had South Carolina, when it was South Carolina and Jackson County, it's definitely Jackson County. Yeah. County Commission.
That's 281 you're talking about, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Whitewater. Okay.
Yeah, right. Are you working towards a motion to accept the changes as proposed for?
Well, I think I want to make sure everybody's questions are answered. But I mean, with the discussion of on and off premise signs and how they fit into the ordinance, that clarifies, at least in my mind, clarifies questions that were in this scenic ordinance. I think if I'm, you know, I'm kind of slow, but I'll get there. So really what we're looking at is the change to on-premise signs and the change of the Greenville Highway portion of 276. I don't see any other changes, with the exception of a couple of technical terms.
That is what we are.
That makes sense, Randy. I mean, that, to me, it's just, that's really, when you wash it all down, this long discussion's come down to, do we want to add this portion of 276, the Greenville Highway, and also adopt the other technical changes like 281 North and the Jackson County line? I mean, I think we've gone around the world to get here, but we're here.
Yeah.
You're looking for a motion. I'll move to that then.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll second that.
One second.
I think we'll have to beat you.
Lauren got it.
Yes, I don't care.
Right after that.
I didn't hear.
Is there any further discussion? All right, what you have in front of you is a motion with the changes we've adopted as being technical changes and the designation that off-premise advertising signs, no off-premise advertising sign may be erected because that blends into the sign control ordinance.
That now goes with that. Both off-premise and on-premise
are under
the sign control. The only thing that the scenic corridor designation ordinance does now is designate those sections of roads. That's all it's doing.
All right.
But you needed to go around the world
and
to make sure that you understood what we're talking about when we get to the sign control ordinance so that it works together. And so I appreciate your patience with that.
I just confuse easily so much.
It's a worthy discussion. I think it was something that we had to sort of pull out and get to facts. Before we vote on this, I just want to say, since I wasn't here, this is impressive. This is, in my mind, this is exactly how things should work. You did it. Nobody had to do it for you. Nobody told them to do it. They did it on their own. That's pretty cool.
Thank you.
You know, I think that's the way things should work.
I think it's wonderful when business has the opportunity to do the right thing,
right,
because they almost always do.
Right.
Well, you just can't count on it. But
even in this, I mean, given the opportunity, people will tend to.
Burlingame's going to see that. If that goes in like that, Burlingame sees that, they're going to say, what did we do wrong?
I mean, I was impressed when Mark told me about this, but seeing the drawing, whatever you did, you should bottle it and sell it. Because this is good.
Yeah, that may be something you might not want to wish for.
I like the fact that it was done.
That may be something, if you ask, you may get.
I'm okay with that. I like the way it was done. I like the way the situation was handled. Nobody used a hammer. Everybody used a pillow or something, but I'm sure you beat on each other a little bit, but it was done well.
May I make a comment?
Yes, sir.
I really enjoyed listening to the dialogue and the give and take and points of view and compromise that went into this discussion. I would, from my personal point of view, we referred to Dollar General as being a wake-up call. And I think that, as Mark mentioned, what's going to happen in the next 10 years is nothing like what's going on the last 10 years.
Yeah.
And there's a 6.2-acre piece of land just north of Dollar General, and they've already started clawing away the hillside there.
There's so, even that soil to fill Dollar General.
So, because Dollar General's a wake-up call, I would like to make sure we are ahead of the curve, that an AEP might be the right answer. But I kind of like the discussion of variances, too. So if we could say, without question, go ahead and do your 40-foot sign as a number. That's ahead of who's coming on this road over the next 10 years. So that would be my only suggestion, that a little more restrictive is not a bad idea. You referred to, we've got to avoid a disaster. And I think if we are very clear that, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Look what Dollar General's done. You know, who are you to say, I'm going to do what I want? I think they're a strong supporter. They have even committed to make contributions to the Connesty Falls Scholarship Fund. So they're being a corporate partner.
And they have a big legacy program.
So I would only encourage that. You cut it back a little bit, that makes sure we're ahead of the curve and they can always get variants. But I thank you so much for the dialogue we had tonight and the give and take and the different
commands.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. Really, I would ask, please talk louder.
Let me assure you, before we get back to this vote, it doesn't always work like that. You just have to call us on a good night.
You were very fortunate tonight.
We have a motion on the floor, and we have a second on the floor to approve the the scenic corridor designation ordinance with the changes that have been discussed. Is there any
to present to the county?
To present to the county commissioners, and because we say yes or no tonight, doesn't really. I want you to be aware out there, it doesn't really mean anything. It'll go as a recommendation to the commissioners, but it's up to them. So I just wanted you to be aware of that ahead of time. So, all right. We have a motion and a second. Any more discussion? All in favor of this ordinance, say aye.
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 Thank you.
All right.
So that was the scenic corridor ordinance. We are now going to take up the sign control ordinance and change to that. And so that was the scenic corridor ordinance. We are now going to work on the actual sign control ordinance. And so we still have some more work here.
What did you call it?
You're welcome to stay or go. And thank you.
Thank you. Do you keep taking notes and be going over this, or do you want to go over this? What would you like to do?
Either way, I will chime in where I see appropriate and continue to take notes, or I'll take it and do notes from memory.
All right. Before we start, let's all get on the same page. We're going to look at the red line or the.
Let's look at the red line.
Okay. Yeah.
Red. Look at the red.
We wanted to. Sandy, I think we have. Where's Steve? Yes. Steve, did you run away? You ready?
I quit.
All right.
So Mike has asked a question. We've got on the scenic corridor, you only had one version. It was a red line strikeout. It was two pages long. Mm-hmm. On the sign control ordinance, we actually have two versions. Mm-hmm. We have a red line strikeout, and we also have, for your convenience, a completed document, what it would look like mm-hmm. if you removed all those. I think for purposes of discussion, I'm going to recommend that we look at the red line strikeout version
and really go through that fairly quickly. Joy has done the lion's share of work on this. Kaylin, Joy, and I all have had have participated and worked on this, but she's done most of this. She is also replacing Kaylin tonight and kind of taking notes. I'm going to lead through this. Joy's going to continue taking notes, but we'll come back if I misstate or wants to add something that I miss. So what I'm going to do is, we've got 9 pages. I'm going to try to go through this pretty quickly. I'm not going to read all of the changes.
Can I ask a question before you start?
Yes, ma'am.
On 610, we generally leave the height at 15.
I would leave it at 15. But we will come to that. We'll come to that.
Okay.
All right. So, authority. We are now going to add the scenic corridor designation ordinance as pursuant to the authority, because we are referencing that as where this is going to go to and how it gets its authority. All right? That's an insert. We talked about before, we had administration, but it was at the very end of the ordinance, and we thought it really makes sense to move administration to the beginning of this. And so that's what we're doing there. Definitions. There are a number of definitions that have been deleted. Some come back in a different term. Some are new, because we're adding things. New one would be 1.2. Electronic message sign, electronic message center, electronic message board, EMC. All those are different terms. Where this comes into play is, we are going to suggest later in the ordinance that we want to have some control over electronic signs. What we're really interested in is making sure that they don't flip too quickly, have distracting visuals on them, and at night they tone back down so that they're not the same brightness that they are during the daytime. And that would be more for neighbors or even for cars driving by. You don't have that intense light. And so there's a requirement that says tone it down at night. My wife would look at me and say, "Mark, you don't even need to do that. You turn off all the lights even at night." But I mean, that's why that's there. Any other questions about definitions on this first page here? Section 1.13, NITS. No, we're not in elementary school. NITS is a measure of light output. And so one of the things that when you start to regulate, you have to be able to, and Mike has been very clear on this since he's been on the board, you have to know what a word means. And so NIT is, it defines the intensity of the visible light that you would see. And there are actually then organizations that will tell you what that NIT should be for daylight versus nighttime.
And is there a way to measure NIT? If I'm standing in front of a sign, do I have a way to?
You have to have a NIT meter.
Now, a NIT width? Actually, you've got to have a NIT width.
That's what I've learned there. But seriously, I mean, inside of a definition, the other thing I've always said is, if you define it, then you have to be able to measure it.
So you have to use a special light meter to, it's a candela, basically, measurement of light.
Okay.
But yeah, there's a piece of equipment
meter that's right there.
Right.
And you can also look to see how it's programmed, because we're talking about electronic signs. You're actually, the easier thing to do is to go back and say, can we see the electronic programming that says what the lumens are, what the nits are, that's being fed into that sign. So, external, you can judge it. You can also go and say, can you just show that it is this?
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Moving to the next page. And I apologize. I noticed that all of these have a strikeout through page 9 of 9. So we don't have a page number But it's the one that has a red line that starts at the very top. It says 5 in print 35. I'm on that page. Anybody have any questions? 1.23, temporary portable sign. Remember we talked about having signs crossed out? This is an example where we had another sign crossed out, definition crossed out, but we combined it with temporary, and now we've inserted portable sign. That is a sign that is displayed only for a limited period of time, is not permanently affixed to the ground, is on wheels or a trailer, V-shaped sandwich signs, and or is made out of materials such as paper, cloth, canvas, plastic, sheet, cardboard, wallboard, other light materials. .24 is actually tying back to the Transylvania County Scenic Corridors. And definition is right out of that, so it ties back in. Next page.
Is that verbatim?
Joy is shaking her head that it is verbatim. I think that it is almost exactly.
We will have to double check everything prior to sending it.
Right.
Because I noticed a typo already. So.
I wasn't going to say anything after that dirty lips gave me when I said that earlier. So. But, yeah, I just want to make sure if that's in there that it is verbatim for the ordinance so that we're not talking two languages.
Yeah.
We will make sure that they are verbatim.
Okay.
Or it may be not necessarily verbatim, but for example, scenic corridor starts off for purposes of establishing areas.
Right.
I think here what we says do there is a roadways designated
right.
in that are. We have captured natural experience is in both of these now, as well as views. Any other questions? Next page. Here's one that I talked about earlier. 3.8, signs and sign structures that cannot be seen from a public roadway are not subject to the size, height, location, number regulations listed in herein. These signs, however, must comply, we've got to change the wording on that, with safety and construction provisions of the current NC Building Code.
Welcome to my goat farm.
Why would you put up a sign nobody could see? I mean, I like it. I like the idea, but
that's for practice.
Curious.
You won't put up one.
I guess would be if you go up a driveway and the entrance to a bed and breakfast or something like that. I get it.
You've got a rock quarry. You want everybody to know that is your rock board.
It was more or less a rhetorical question. Thank you.
Not a rhetorical question. Someone's going to answer it. Whether you want an answer or not.
We're also adding signs inside of a building. Don't care. It's inside. Just to be clear. What do you mean?
Just signs inside a building and everything's broke out.
No, well, I mean, all these, that was a different definition. That's directional signs. We've gotten rid of directional signs. We're going to bring those back in another place. So all of these temporary signs we addressed earlier.
Yeah.
Those were sections that are content. They are specific content references. And we cannot regulate based on content because of the Supreme Court. And
what
so
I'm saying is
those
we've
have
got
been
8.9 signs inside a building.
Yeah.
But it's under the larger heading of all signs exempted. So I was just saying those signs are exempted. Signs inside a building are exempted.
Okay. Does that make sense?
No.
Okay. So we're saying 3.8 is exempt. And then 3.9 is a new, we're inserting.
Yeah.
We don't care what the sign looks like if it's inside the building. And that could be behind glass. So you could still see it, but it's behind glass.
Okay.
All right. Steve, were you?
That,
yeah. All right.
Okay.
We'll come
up. I'll come back.
All right. So the signs prohibited, section 4, signs vetted at 4.2, signs creating unsafe distractions to motorists, including but not limited to, and then we have identified a number of things, including some of the ones that we heard at the last meeting from the Cedar Mountain community talking about strobe lights and so forth.
4.2 was in the original ordinance, but it was a long list of things that were prohibited, and there was some confusion of, is that all that's prohibited? Can we have a little bit more of an idea of the what creates unsafe distractions?
So we added not limited to.
But not limited to, yes, ma'am.
We added flashing, oh no, flashing signs were there, moving signs were there, signs containing strobe lights were added, and signs incorporating mirrors or reflective surfaces were added. Those were the two that were.
I'm just going to throw this out there and take for what it's worth. I'm always uncomfortable with but not limited to. And I like to define the terms.
Yeah.
You know, because that leads it to, it's, at that point, it's very subjective. What does that mean? I'm not saying that the whole board reflects that opinion. I'm just saying that's my opinion, that I'm always uncomfortable with a government document that says, but not limited to.
Well, but you can't list every possible distraction.
Right. I understand that, but.
Yeah. Thank the Lord.
And
I mean, I certainly understand every. To me, the ordinance is about safety as much as it is, or more than it is about anything else. And these are certainly things that could create safety hazards. So I understand that. As a general rule, I'm not comfortable with the word, but not limited to.
Well, sometimes you'll see things such as.
Right.
Is that better? Here's some examples, this, but not necessarily all inclusive.
I'd probably be more comfortable with that than I would be, but not limited to.
Okay.
Signs creating unsafe distances for motorists, such as.
Yeah.
Okay.
Done. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You can see at the bottom of that page where that strikeout is, it begins by incorporating flashing, blinking. That's where everything was in one string. Mm-hmm. And we're just trying to bring it out so it's easier to read. Going to section 5, off-premise sign regulations. Here's one, 5.2, I think is the way it should read now. Off-premise signs or assigned things. We've got it. There's a strikeout through 5.2.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be there. I missed that.
There's issues with the numbers. I apologize for that strikeout. It should be 5.2.
Yeah. Off-premise signs with a sign face 32 square feet or less do not require a sign permit. However, sign shall be securely affixed to the ground must otherwise follow this ordinance. So basically that was that small off-premise sign. And we're going to see there's a little bit more that continues to, we'll have a little bit more on that in the next section, 5.3. Off-premise signs containing directions or advertisements for the same establishment, event, or location shall be no closer than 75 feet apart, up to three off-premise signs may be placed on the same road. So we're trying to direct somebody to an establishment. With the total number of directional signs equaling five or less in Transylvania County at any one time. So the discussion was, how many directional signs would somebody actually try to put up to get to their event? And we're saying you're allowed to have three on the same road. Five total. As I interpreted the changes that we have been looking at, it could have been up to 15. And I think having 15 directional signs to a cornhole maze or to any one location really is not what is intended here. We're trying to help people find a place but not have off-premise directional signs everywhere. Does that make sense? I think, Joy, I'm going to talk a little bit about 5.5, and I think that internally with staff, there was a question about off-premise signs and personal residence. Okay? And we say that off-premise signs greater than 32 square feet should be at least 2,000 linear feet measured along roadway center line from an off-premise sign, at least 500 linear feet from an intersection of center line of all roads at grade railroad crossings, and at least 500 linear feet from the nearest point of any personal residence, it used to say dwelling unit, church, or building used for worship. What 5.51 does is it says that if I own a piece of property, and the Lord comes to me and says, Mark, I'd like to install an off-premise sign on your property, but it is closer than 500 feet. You wouldn't be allowed to do it. But what 5.51 says is that if Mark Burroughs says that it's okay, and I get somebody to notarize that it's okay, he can install it then. And so we're not preventing all private exchange.
But only 500 feet from your personal
residence.
Your personal residence.
So, Mike, if you say, Lord, I don't care if you put that sign right up against my house, the ordinance will allow it. You will have to have a statement saying that you agree to it. So that whoever owns that house is not being taken advantage of. And we'll have documentation that you said, that's fine. What I'm not going to do is ask what you're leasing that sign space for. We're not asking that. But I'm sure that that's why you did.
It's all about the money, Mark. That's it.
Next page. 5.10. Off-premise electronic message centers are prohibited.
Can you clarify that for me?
Yeah. All right. So basically, if you have a billboard, off-premise sign, something that is larger than about anything up to 150 square feet, and it's off-premise, it's not on your business, it can't be an electronic message board. It's not going to be an LED football screen.
Okay.
That's what we're saying.
So like the big signs that say "Clips traffic on the road," that's what you're talking about?
We're talking about
like the Blue Ridge Community College sign or something like that.
Correct. Off-premise, though. But on-premise,
right.
We don't care.
Okay. But a sign like that couldn't be, they couldn't put that sign off-premise.
That's correct. And the signs you're talking about are government signs, so they're allowed.
We have that eclipse traffic sign.
I was poking the bear. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right, does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Off-premise illuminated signs shall be lighted by fixtures located, aimed, and fully shielded. Basically, we're saying we don't want light scattered everywhere. And then going back to illumination, we're saying off-premise signs that are illuminated at night may not exceed maximum luminance level of 750 nits, regardless of method of illumination.
What does the CE stand for?
I do not know, sir.
Candela.
Candela, yeah, it probably is.
Technically, that needs to be candelas per meter squared.
Rather than CD?
Spelled out?
CD per meter squared instead of CD per meter.
Is what?
It is meter squared.
Yes. There's a two on
there.
There's a two there. You want me to hold it out here? Or you need the...
Here. Which version are you looking at?
Right there. The one you emailed with.
I understand your concern. Thank you. We've got it.
Okay.
On premise signs, I'd like to spend a minute here on 6.7. Electronic message signs are permitted in accordance with on-premise sign regulations with the following additional stipulation. Sign may be a portion of a building sign or a freestanding sign or may comprise the entire sign area. All signs shall have automatic dimming controls either by photocell, software settings, in order to bring the sign lighting level into compliance at night. Signs shall have a minimum display time of 8 seconds. Transition time between messages and message frames is limited to 3 seconds. And these transitions may employ fade, dissolve, and or other transition effects. Does that make sense? We're actually 6.7.5. And Mike, I mentioned the football game. Mm-hmm. Full motion video film display via electronic file imported to the sign is not allowed. So that you wouldn't have somebody wanting to see the whatever malfunction process took place during halftime being shown up on the screen.
However, if you own 100 acres and you show it up by your house on a sign and it can't be seen by from a state-maintained road, it would be allowed.
Let me go back to why we show a sign and nobody can see it. Let's move on.
Well, you
I digress.
You could have a... You could be the next car theater. Or we have a drive-in theater.
There you go.
Yeah.
Not only you're going to be leasing space for a sign.
Yeah, we've got to get together on that.
Or they could just stay home and watch it on Netflix.
You have to play it, sir.
No, I'm just processing this 6.7. I understand they're all safety-oriented, so...
Last month, Planning Board asked us to prepare something for you guys to discuss. So,
right.
So,
I was just curious. So, I guess that would be a government sign. I'm just thinking about like a scoreboard on a football field.
It's not going to be fun.
Visible from the road.
No.
Okay.
It's not a sign.
All right. Just check.
Not directing, not advertising.
We get our big scoreboard jumbotron in Roslyn. I don't need any regulation.
That town of Roslyn, if they adopt this, we'll make sure that they
I'm good.
It's not good.
I understand. Let's move on.
Temporary portable sign regulations. Temporary portable signs do not require permit or fee, but must otherwise follow the ordinance. And then outlines this. Questions, comments?
So 6.10, we decided 80 is the number there, correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
Change that to 80.
Yep.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, that was a very good discussion.
It happens.
All right. Article 7, sign maintenance, abandoned signs, tree cutting, really no changes.
I would like, so.
Which section? Where are you?
Section 7.2.
Okay, back.
We have had a lot of discussion on this board about the 45 days, consecutive calendar days displayed once at a 6-month period interval. And that is based on the current sign ordinance. The 6-month intervals are based on current sign control ordinance. Looking to the model ordinance created by the United States Sign Council, they have 90 days over a calendar year, which would be a lot easier to measure. Same time frame, but your point of they could take it down for one day and then put it right back up. If it's in the calendar year, you have 90 days to display this. Just something that, I don't know if we want to open up that again, because we have come to an agreement on this. It is just something from an enforcing perspective. It may be easier to enforce on a calendar year instead of a 6-month interval.
It seems like why bother once every 6 months?
So if you, do you want to discuss it or do you want to move on?
I missed the first part when you said where we were. I got to discuss
7.2. Temporary portable signs.
Thank you.
We discussed Christmas trees needing 45 days to advertise their product. Okay. And we, instead of the, it's currently 14 days.
Right.
So they get about a quarter of a year, they can have their sign up however they want to do it.
Per calendar year. Which is the same as what this says.
Right.
But it's at 6-month intervals.
Yeah, the reason we did that, we were talking about businesses like Christmas tree businesses, that 14 was very restrictive for them.
Yeah.
So we extended it to 45 for that reason, for those type of businesses.
The 90 days per year would be it'd be easier to monitor,
yeah.
And it would be more flexibility for the sign owner. I mean, that would tell you.
Yeah, I think it'd be easier. Just easier.
And it's the. Am I wrong in thinking it's the same thing?
No,
it's fundamentally the same thing. Yeah.
Okay. So, if you guys would like to consider that, I can take it out of the model sign ordinance verbatim and stick it in there.
I think that's less restrictive, just 90 days, however you want to do it.
This means they can put it up 4 or 10 days and take it out and put it up for 30 days.
Yeah, as long as they don't exceed the 90.
Well, if they don't exceed.
And the challenge on that is, from an enforcement standpoint, is some of these signs, how do we do it? I mean, so if there's somebody that's a habitual abuser, you can make an effort to try to make sure that you're tracking it, but the reality is that's a tough one to enforce.
Yeah.
It is.
And I'd rather go to the 90 days than the other. I think it makes it easier, and I think it's saying that we're trying to be more accommodating to businesses, but it's still a tough one from an enforcement standpoint. You got that change? Yeah. Okay.
90 days. I'm good with that.
90 days in a year.
In a calendar year.
Calendar year.
Because there's a fiscal year versus the calendar year.
Right. Sandy, Steve, y'all comfortable with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I heard Lauren say he was. Everybody's good. All right.
I think sign maintenance, no real change. Permits, fees, non-conforming signs. We're deleting things that are no longer needed, and that is a permit emblem. We went away from permit emblems a long time ago and probably should have removed that two versions of this ordinance, and I don't know why it has not been, but we no longer have the permit emblems. Permit fee, we're talking about, is just fee required to be paid for permitting of significant sign modifications. It's just straightening that out. Joy, I'm looking at this. Why is on section, we have section 1, 3, and 4 without a strikeout? And then we have section 15 as part of that same paragraph. We probably need to look at that and separate out.
I don't.
Section, it's the last one.
It's the numbers.
Yeah, the numbers, and then section 15 is just part of that paragraph, and it should be a separate paragraph.
No, section 15 is being struck. Yeah, you're right. It should be a second paragraph.
It's a different paragraph. It's being struck, but it...
Yep.
About non-conforming signs, section 15?
We are actually on section... There's a couple of things that are hard with the changes that have been made, but section... And right now it reads section 1, 3, 4... It actually should be section, and actually there is a strikeout through number 4, but that strikeout is right at the line of 4, and so it's there.
It's there.
It's there. That's clean. We just need to move section 15 needs to be a separate paragraph. That makes sense.
You and I had also discussed, and it did not get incorporated, combining section 12 and section 13.
Not part of the same paragraph.
Oh, okay.
Mark?
I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry. You and I had also discussed the permit application and permit fee could be combined.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Because it's the same discussion. It's just a different part of the process.
Section 16, we've had some discussion on this, and I think the main thing here is that it is hard to follow.
Oh, reason given, yeah.
Reason given for denial of permit. This doesn't make sense.
Permit not
imported
any permit application not containing all our information and not meeting specifications set forth in this ordinance shall be rejected and returned to the applicant together with the reasons for rejection.
The challenge is what I struggled with is all the strike throughs and the underscores. The application is underscored, and it really, we just need to put a denial permit and put it all together so that you don't have to search for the next.
Okay. I'll move that way up.
Can we go back to...
Yes, sir.
Look at section 14.
Okay.
14.2. Failing to construct a sign within 180 days from the issue date. There's grounds for permit revocation. Shouldn't that permit be whatever the terms, the standard terms are that the inspections, building and inspections department does for permits?
That is, isn't it?
I don't know. I would assume that you had like a year to start construction, but maybe you don't.
If you don't start construction and have them come out and inspect it within 180 days, the permit is null.
Yeah.
That is the
6 months.
Yeah.
The permits expire. Yeah.
And because they're the enforcement officer on this, it's going to take a look at this. They're good with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Where I was confused on section 16, basically what we're trying to do is make sure that it's clear how we identify why a permit is being denied. We've had that discussion.
Mm-hmm.
You remember at the very beginning of the ordinance, we had administration was an addition. It's taken out here. It didn't make sense to have administration, enforcement, appeals, and penalties and have that there. We want administration up front. That's why you have to strike out here.
So, Mark, did you say, though, you're going to move reason given for denial of permit over to Section 12?
No.
No,
sir.
I hear that. What is that?
Section 13, the permit fees, may be combined with Section 12 permit application.
Okay.
Because the fees are gathered at time of application, and it's one step.
Okay, so just so I'm clear, so if you deny a permit, you give them the reason we've had that. we can deny the permit, which means you have to reapply and pay another fee, or we give you 30 days to fix the initial application, and you have to pay another fee. Is that?
In practice, we discuss what the sign control ordinance says and make sure that the applicant understands that and make sure that they modify it to fit that before they even submit the actual application with the fee.
We're not looking at revenue generators.
No.
Oh, I know.
In fact, we had a situation today with flood damage control ordinance where we're working with somebody to work through the process and have everything before we actually even issue the permit. So. Almost done. Look at 18.4.
Before you get that far, can I ask another question?
Let's move on.
Section 17. Reconstruction of damaged signs.
Yeah.
Are grandfathered signs considered conforming signs? Because this gives the instructions for how a conforming sign can be rebuilt or repaired, but it doesn't say anything about non-conforming signs.
That's covered in 15.
Yeah, 15.3. 16.3 needs a strike.
15.3 says, okay, yeah.
I'm good. Okay.
Main thing on the next page that I wanted to bring your attention to is at 18.4, two things. One, I want to read this, but before I do, Joy has provided, and actually I think tomorrow we will go back and ask, bring back or rescind comments that have been incorporated, that we've already sent the county attorney and to the school of government for their view of this. The one that I'm really concerned with is 18.4 from a procedural standpoint, because basically what we're saying is with nuisance signs, those little signs that you see advertising network connectivity or something that's been there for a long time, nuisance sign, we've defined it. We're saying that we can remove them. You know, I can go out, remove them, and then what we're going to do is we're going to put them in the basement, and somebody has 15 days to come get them. There's not a lot of value in these signs. I think that legally we are able to do this, but we need to have it spelled out, and we want to make sure that both the county attorney and the school government looks at this and says it is reasonable to have this. But there are so many times we've had individuals actually attend planning board meetings that have complained about these signs,
and I have unofficially deputized them and said, knock yourself out. Take as many as you want, but I cannot tell somebody to go do that. But I think that this would make a lot of enforcement for small signs very easy. And again, we would save them. They would be in the basement for a period of time. Somebody wants to claim them, they can, but they are non-conforming nuisance signs.
They have to be stuck in the ground?
If they're on telephone poles, we would be able to go after them too. We actually say signs on poles, rocks are not allowed. Those are illegal signs.
How do the people know where their signs are?
He says they'll contact the nuisance sign owner.
Yeah. Typically, what we will do is we will call the number or send an email to the email address that is on that sign. That's the only thing that we can do. Otherwise, we won't know. I mean, but why would you put up one of those signs if you didn't have a contact on? So, HughesNet, for example, I called. What, Mike?
Just kind of like putting up a sign nobody can see.
Yeah. Exactly. So you're not going to miss it, are you?
No.
I guess my question is this. Okay, I see my signs are gone. Who the hell's got them? You know, and maybe if there's not some kind of notification,
yeah,
then they just sit in the basement for 15 days and you throw them away.
That's right. That's the intent.
That might be a little shaky, but okay.
That's why we've got to have the attorney.
So, in other words, if a sign was stuck on a telephone pole that said flea market ahead, but didn't have any, you know, there's no.
Well, that's an illegal sign.
Right. So it can be taken down. There's no reason to contact anybody because ahead doesn't have
the phone. Way you can.
Right. So that just sits in the basement, gets tossed.
15 days.
Right.
And this is a public document.
Right.
So
exactly.
If you put a sign out there, you can read this, yeah, and that tells you where your sign's going to be after we pick it out, I think. So.
Right. Exactly.
Hopefully they read it.
But if there's another,
but it's not our obligation to. Yeah. Right.
But if there,
but
yeah,
it's not our obligation to tell them to read this before they put up any legal sign.
But if their number's on there or there's an email on there, there'll be an attempt made to contact.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the way I read this.
Okay.
That is the
best we can do.
Yeah. Well, I think if you can tow somebody's car, you ought to be able to take their sign.
Yeah. All
right, Bruce. All right.
That's
all.
Okay.
All right. So, with those, we'll be getting something from y'all, I guess, at some point with all these changes.
The question I have for you. Yes, sir.
Can I start with just a comment? And I don't want to criticize anybody, but please don't make that stuff in yellow anymore. There was some stuff that I got in an email that was crossed out and the words were yellow. I don't know if it was my screen or what. I couldn't even see.
August 17th?
Yeah, I couldn't even see that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or have
no yellow. That's
good to know.
Okay.
Or have somebody sit across the room and hold it or something. But just
that's a different topic. But that's the yellow was a way for me to highlight.
I don't know about everybody else, but I had difficulty seeing that.
That's good to know.
Okay.
I mean, red's good, blue's good, yellow not so much.
All right.
So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's easy.
Go ahead with your question. I'm sorry.
So the question is, do you want to see all of these changes and vote on it at the next meeting?
I feel
that's fine.
That's yeah.
Okay. What we will do is, I have talked to Tricia Hogan, clerk to the board, and have said, would you please put on hold for the first meeting in September the sign control and the scenic corridor ordinance. It's only on hold, and I've told her that we're working on this tonight and it may be ready for the September 12th meeting or it may not. And if we want to bring this back and review it in toto one more time, and I actually think with the changes that we've made tonight, I think that makes sense. I think what we do is we hold both
the sign control and the scenic corridor until the next meeting, finalize, which hopefully you will look at this and be able to say, these are the changes that we discussed, we're good with these, and then that's part of the agenda, and then we move on to the next topic. And so we will have for the September meeting this, do you want red line strikeout, or do you want a clean version? Or do you want both?
I like both.
I like both, too, so I can see.
Right. We'll have both. Does that work? I think that from staff's perspective, I'm good with that. I think that works.
All right. Just a question, and I don't know if we have any meeting laws that impact this or not, but is there, just in lieu of waiting months to do this again, is there some mechanism by which you can email that to us? We can't do that because of the open meeting.
Open meetings law?
Yeah, okay.
Open meetings law. Now, you can have a special meeting. If you wanted to meet at a different time, as long as we get 48 hours notice,
okay.
So public, we're good, we can do that, but I don't think that there's anything so pressing that this can't wait until the September meeting, the third Thursday in September is the 21st. And so then this would be on the commissioners, assuming everything is good, except maybe minor tweaks or somebody sees a typo or something that we missed. But everything is good with both of these. That means that it would go to the county commissioners for their October 10th meeting.
It sounds like Christian really
didn't
want it on the 12th.
She could care. I mean, it's not a matter of her wanting it or not. I mean, they just need to be able to plan for meetings and know what's coming up. And then she works with Larry and with the manager to make sure that it's not overwhelmed, that meeting is not overwhelmed. So she's indifferent from that standpoint.
Everybody comfortable with that?
All right. Did we actually have a motion for the changes discussed on this?
I would entertain a motion.
Well, we don't need one. Staff is at this point comfortable. We will go back with the comments that we've heard tonight. We'll make that, and then we would entertain staff to come in.
All right. With that, let's move into new business. Mark, what you got?
I'm just surprised you've made it this far. Planning director update. Caitlin, I think I mentioned to a couple of you, Caitlin had surgery on Tuesday, and it was planned surgery. She will be out of the office for the next 4 to 6 weeks, so it is just the joy. Next week, it will be joy holding down the fort. I'm helping my son relocate to Wyoming. Permanently. So, wayfinding grant. I think I've mentioned this before. We were the recipient of a $50,000 ARC Appalachian Regional Commission wayfinding grant. This is where Joy, Kayla, and I all work together with TDA, the Tourism Development Authority. They identified 10 locations in the county where it would be ideal if we had, you know how the city of Brevard wayfinding signs are? We would put those in the county at strategic locations to highlight Rosman, highlight Gorges, highlight Perry, DuPont, Cedar Mountain, to Brevard, and so forth. So we're working on that right now.
Just make sure they conform to the ordinance.
They will conform. They already do, and they will also. We've been working with NCDOT, has been part of our meeting process. In fact, yesterday we met with TDA staff, a board member, and NCDOT. It's actually NCDOT is probably the tougher. They're the tougher one. The other thing is that. Two more things. I don't know if you've seen the backside of the Allison Gepper House, but it has a new roof. It has a brand new roof, compliments to the state and the efforts of the Transylvania Joint Historic Preservation Commission. Joy submitted a grant for $11,000 that was matched by the Historical Society, and That work will hopefully stabilize that building. The roof that was on there was not installed correctly, and we think that that will stabilize the building. And then the last thing, we are working on a home housing grant, scattered site housing grant. We had 18 people make application for a grant that would help improve their home, bring it up to current minimum code. We were encouraged to apply for this last year. We did, and it's going to take some time and energy, but I think what we've seen is that there's a lot of need out there, and we hope that we can affect some change there. We've had applications that have come in from all over the county for this. So that's all I have, sir.
All right. Anything else?
We need to talk about, in terms of next meeting, which would be kind of other. Next meeting is the 21st, I think I said.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I met with Daniel Cobb today for lunch. Remember when we had a joint meeting, we talked about coming back together again? Our regular meeting in October is, we were looking at trying to meet again in October. The regular meeting in October is the 19th. I will not be there. Joy's got some travel. She's doing a few things that week. I've got some things going on that week. I'm wondering for October, working with Daniel, could we look at moving the regular meeting to either the 12th, the week before, the 26th, or time that we Daniel and I work out between his board and you, and we do that with the chairs?
I prefer that. That's all great for us to follow, so it'd be great.
Okay.
You said 10/26?
12th or 26th, and then really it's going to be up to Daniel working with his chair to see what they want to do.
I will be gone the 26th.
12th will probably help for me.
I'm in Chapel Hill on the 12th.
We are not going to do it on the 12th, guys. No, the 12th is, you cannot do it on the 12th.
At this point, I'm not sure, but I think so. I have to go look at the calendar.
You mentioned doing it at the City of Brevard's planning banquet.
They meet on the third Tuesday. Right. They meet the third Tuesday, which will not help Steve.
No.
Well, that's not a big deal.
And it won't help me.
It won't help you, right.
But we could look at, how about the 10th or the 24th? You're back.
No, I'm back.
I will be gone the 24th.
That's right.
As well.
He'll be on the 10th. He'll be on the 24th.
All right. What I'm going to suggest is that Daniel and I work with our board chairs, and we will try to find consensus electronically to find a date that works for everybody. For the most number of people.
Just since we're, I won't be here on the 5th or the 6th. Okay. It was the Thursday and the Friday.
Of October?
Of October.
All right.
I just want to put that in.
We will propose dates through a doodle poll or something like that. We'll try to get the most number of people that can attend, making sure that we get a quorum.
While we're speaking of, is it time yet?
I am done. All right. For that.
While we're speaking of the meetings, November is a week before Thanksgiving. Pretty confident on that. And it's December is close to a week before Christmas, I think. So I want you to consider, I don't know if we need to talk about it tonight or just I want to consider what we want to do with our November and December meetings. In the past, I think it was a November meeting, we had a potluck dinner kind of thing. Didn't really hold a meeting that dinner. We can do that. We can have a regular meeting. Just consider, you know, because.
After a long winter, here's another reason to celebrate.
What'd you do there? Oh. Anyway, so just consider what you want to do in November, December, based on how close they are to Christmas, Thanksgiving, holidays, people traveling, whatever. So just keep it in mind. We'll talk about it next week.
The one thing that Mike and I have talked about is a possible the next thing to work on is the ridge top wall. Joe and I have looked at that. We think that that's one that is going to be a lot easier than the sign control ordinance, but more difficult than the scenic corridor. And so it probably is one or two meetings.
Yeah.
Mountain Ridge Top.
General statutes changed in 2006. We need to come into compliance with them. We have three different ways of looking at mountain ridges. We can continue to look at them the way we do in the current ordinance, or we could look at one of other two other possibilities. So.
But I think that we've looked at this. We don't see that one as being a lot of work.
No.
Can you email me a copy of that just in the meantime?
The Mountain Ridge Protection Ordinance?
Sure. It's online.
It's online.
That could be something that affects, you know, we could do it, if it's two meetings, October, November, then December, we do something or nothing.
Cool. Yeah,
exactly. Well, October.
And in January, y'all can do whatever you want to. I don't really care.
You've got January.
Yep, you're stuck with us in January.
All right.
We're still here in January.
Okay, February, y'all do whatever you want to.
That may be.
Anyway, any other comments? All right, moving right into, let's go to public comment first. Those brave few that have hung out there. Do you have anything that you want to discuss?
I want to thank you for allowing us to be here and to be listening to us. And very much enjoy hearing the dialogue with you all.
I appreciate you coming. I think it's very deep to thought. I don't think we have enough of that. Where people care about the show up.
I would say,
I really appreciate what you do, and being the daughter of a man who developed money. But I see, we've seen it for like 30 years, and you're going at an exponentially growing rate. I keep telling the people that I meet that have all been here 6 months or a year, it's like, I moved a whole lot 5 years until about, a year ago, and it moved about 10 times that speed in the last year. The locomotive is out of the barn and going downhill really fast. So you guys are doing the right thing because we're right there, back and forth 276 every single day, and every single day there's new mountains being moved, new things being cleared, new signs going up, new for sale signs, and from a real estate developer's job, it could look 100% different in 2 years. So you need to keep it ahead. And we have from the tourism office over here collected all these federal programs where they, one of them was they designated 8 places in the United States that were unique visual heritage craft corridors, and we're one of the 8. That's a pretty big deal. That's like people go on vacation. There's these groups that have designated Western North Carolina as a craft heritage preserved area, and they're talking about the profitability for the communities being right behind the second highest profitability of agricultural crops. So you can make money by having people say, I want to come to this area, I want to come to mountain bike, I want the green, I want the craft, I want the music. There's a big bunch of money there, and if you just clear cut it all like Miami and just put up a whole lot of commercial industry that's nothing local and nothing natural, you'll lose your draw. You're noticed all over the entire nation right now In fact, when I went to Sierra Nevada Brewery the other day with our tourist visitors, which is almost nonstop at our house, the film they had said, it's a family, it's only four people that own it over the whole nation, billions of dollars. Those four people looked at 200 places around the country, and coming out of Chico, they said the place that had the five was Brevard. It had the nature vibe, the youth, the everything going, the culture, the good food, the good music, and that's why Sierra Nevada picked it out of 200 places, is the vibe. So if you're all commercial national chains, you ain't gonna have the vibe. That's irreplaceable. Vibe is gone overnight. You guys are on a really runaway train right now, so keep an eye out.
Yeah, I'll just tell you, just by the way, since you mentioned that, we're starting up at the college. Classes start next week, and we have a class in the business program this semester, Business of the Arts, to talk about stuff just like that.
Well, we've got a lot of information to give you.
Come on.
Yeah. There's a lot of organizations, and what for the carrot versus the stick to keep your vibe. I've watched it where I live down in Florida sometimes. You're good at grants. Like, you got Bullwinkle's money. She was going to do a little something, but she got such a big grant because she had a business plan ready that she got her dream. She got to do, instead of just something, she got to do this dream thing. But there's grants to preserve your barns. There's grants to preserve your historic churches, your natural basements, your historic homes. There's grants to fix up the dilapidated businesses and provide training and education and support for the crafts and arts. So there's a lot of money to be gotten, just like Bullwinkle's got. And there's a lot of money to be made if you don't lose the vibe. So we love what you're doing. What you're doing is important. Because otherwise, in about a year or two, you could be like any place in America.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Board member comments. Lauren, we'll start over there with you.
I'm commenting out, man.
Okay.
I'm gonna do this.
I'm just thinking, don't we have a historical preservation committee?
We do. JHPC, Joint Historic Preservation Commission.
It's a great commission.
Oh, you go speak for them.
Or just went off that beyond that.
Oh, really? Okay.
And we just submitted a grant application 2 weeks ago. So.
Steve, you got anything?
No comment, thank you.
All right. Surprisingly, I don't either.
We adjourn.
Oh, there's a movement to
second.
Second.
Guys, thank you very much.
Always ask me to adjourn.
We covered a lot of ground. Go get some rest.
I got to go now and set up our radio equipment and make sure it's ready for tomorrow night. Go home and eat some food. Yeah.
After about 2 or 3 months, connected up with some great people who did an executive search in Greenville. So I worked for them initially.
How long
have
you been in Greenville?
Well, 9 days.
I was accepted for a PhD program, but
I'm going to do it. Oh, yeah. It'll be kind of nice to
get
quiet. There's a storm. There's a storm of customers wanting flats reviewed or then I'll just have to say you'll have to come back tomorrow. Have a good night. And the black bag is underneath. So there's two bags. There's.
So far. I'm going to try to get it.